Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Pastor, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Tuesday, 9th of February, 2021 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news from the Isle of Man and background to the news. We have sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person tonight. One new case of COVID-19 in isolation, so a total of 5 active cases and 1 in Nobles. The steam packet staff won't jump the vaccination queue. Douglas commercial rents are too high, says an MHK. The new education bill's been abandoned. And the Ballacallan Hotel burnt down last night, all on post-lockdown 2, Freedom Day number 9.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes to 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. First of my, Tessa Hawley.
First of my, there's been one new case of COVID-19 detected on the island for the second day in a row. The person affected was already self-isolating. It brings the current number of active cases to 5. A 97-year-old woman from Douglas has received her COVID-19 vaccination in her own home. Beatrice Quirk said she didn't feel a thing when she became the first person on the island to have a jab from her own chair. It marks the first time a housebound patient has received the inoculation. The Isle of Man Fire and Rescue Service says it's still not able to search the former Ballacallan Hotel after a fire engulfed it overnight. The roof and inner floors have all collapsed at the site in Dorby. Crews have now left the scene, describing the incident as challenging. Further afield, and travellers returning to England will have to pay £175 a night for enforced stays in so-called quarantine hotels from Monday. The mandatory isolation applies to anyone arriving from 33 red list countries, but the Scottish Government says the measures don't go far enough and will apply to people landing there from all destinations. The UK has recorded its smallest number of new coronavirus cases since November. 12,364 people have tested positive in the latest 24-hour period. And the schools minister says he's open to all ideas on how to help pupils catch up following the pandemic. Nick Gibbs says the government will leave no stone unturned when asked if he'd consider longer school days or shorter summer holidays. Those are your headlines. News in full at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Tessa, thank you. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, Irish Sea Weather says the strong winds will dissipate as the night goes on the Isle of Man. Same story, east northeasterly will decrease as the evening goes on. It's going to calm down overnight, which means a widespread frost. Overnight minimum -3 degrees. There's a yellow weather warning for frost. Certainly there'll be frost really apart from everywhere but the windward coastal fringes. For tomorrow, Wednesday, Chakrane, dry and sunny, top temperature 3 degrees. Dry and partially cloudy after dark tomorrow, down to freezing point again. And Thursday, Jourdain, dry and cloudy with a strengthening wind coming in from the southeast, up to 3 degrees. Sunset was 5:15, 25 odd minutes ago. High water is 10:04 tonight. Low water, 5:27 tomorrow morning. Sunrise, 8:11. High water, 11:27 tomorrow morning. And the Ben McCree is in Douglas Harbour now.
For the latest high-tech windows, doors, conservatories, fascias and soffits, visit Manx Glass and Glazing Showroom in Snugborough.
The Chief Minister, Howard Quayle, says steam packet staff will not be put ahead of the queue for the COVID vaccine. He was replying to an urgent question from Chris Robertshaw, MHK, who said he was concerned that the crews for the steam packet could turn out to be a back door for the virus to come to the Isle of Man.
In terms of the steam packet, 2/3 of its staff live in the UK and 1/3 live on the Isle of Man. And there is inevitable interaction between those two groups on the ferry itself, completely unavoidable. And we know from information received last week that transmissibility is reduced by inoculation. So the essence of this question, Mr. Speaker, is, does he not agree that it's worth reviewing this matter with regard to potentially diminishing the transmissibility between UK ferry staff and Isle of Man ferry staff, such that the service ultimately would not become a backdoor to bringing the infection into the Isle of Man? And now we know that transmissibility is reduced by inoculation, would he please consider reviewing this with regard to making sure that that particular door is also closed?
The evidence on the reduction of transmissibility is emerging rather than a known, and initial findings suggest a possible two-thirds reduction, so reduces but does not prevent. The main purpose of the vaccination, based on current trial evidence, is to prevent serious illness, hospital admission and death. The risk of these outcomes is highly correlated with age and underlying medical conditions. The supply of the vaccine is finite. This means that if we divert vaccine to groups outside the current priority groups, that will mean that people within the priority groups will not get vaccinated.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
Good evening. It's 24 minutes before 6 on Manx Radio. It was a time when just about everybody in the Isle of Man had been to it. Now, it's gone. The old Ballachallan Hotel at Dorby's partially collapsed after an overnight fire. Here's Brigade Officer Carl Kinvig speaking to Manx Radio's Amy Griffith.
Initially when we turned up, we ended up with 6 major appliances there and a well-established fire. The difficulty was that the roof and then subsequent floors above had collapsed, so it was very difficult to get access into the building. We were unable to do so, so we had to fight the fire from outside. The initial call came in potentially as persons reported, which means there might have been somebody in the building, but with our colleagues from the control room and from the police, determined that person was accounted for elsewhere. But we have been unable to search the whole building just purely because of the structural elements and issues with it at the moment. So where we are now, there is a few hot spots. So the second crew's now been relieved, and we're going to have a fire watch up there for the next few hours just to make sure it doesn't take hold again. If you imagine, we've now got the contents of the roof and the first floor almost in a bonfire form now on the ground floor. So what we'd ordinarily do is we'd break that up and cool it down, but we're unable to do that because we can't get into the building. So yeah, we're reasonably confident that fire in those areas now has been knocked down, but history tells us that they can sometimes kick back in again, and we obviously don't want to end up having another incident where we got to send back multiple appliances. We had our friends from the colleagues from Civil Defence who turned up for crew welfare because the conditions last night were absolutely atrocious. It was freezing, if not below. So they helped us with staff welfare and also our colleagues in DOI. When we started putting water onto the fire, we had runoff, which was going onto the road, and that became like an ice rink. So DOI thankfully turned up and got the gritters to work and really helped us in that regard as well.
How are your firefighters doing in, as you say, really tough conditions last night?
What we did was at 9 o'clock, is we got everybody that had been there from 1 o'clock off-site, and we replaced them with a fresh crew. So they've been able to go home, although some of them obviously it's retained firefighters. They don't have the option to take the day off, so they have to go back to their places of work. So they'll be hopefully catching up on their sleep tonight.
So how do you actually go about investigating the building? I mean, when will you be able to actually get in and do that? Or is there a possibility that that might not happen?
Yeah, well, the next step would be a structural engineer making that determination. Obviously, now the investigation side goes over to our colleagues in the police. They'll be looking into that matter and potentially asking for our assistance with a fire investigating officer. But if the building's deemed to be unsafe, we will struggle to get into either all of it or parts of it, depending on the condition of the building.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The Mamikry left Heysham at 2:04 this afternoon, and Chickering to Douglas some 20 minutes ago, safely in harbour on the Link Span at the moment, leaving this evening at 7:45 into Heysham at 11:30, the overnight departure from Heysham at 2:15 back in Douglas tomorrow morning shortly before 6 o'clock.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
The new education bill has been withdrawn. Dr. Alex Allenson, the Minister for Education, Sport and Culture, made the announcement in the House of Keys this morning. So what now? Will there be A new bill, Dr. Allinson.
We're at the start of a new process. We're trying to develop a new culture within the education service to allow people to have their voice heard and to actually appreciate that they will be listened to, and therefore contributing to that process is worthwhile, both for them, their careers, their profession and their communities. So I think we are now taking the first steps to change the discourse around education policy, to actually take on board all those people who should key into that, to actually bring them together. I do not think that the department as a single entity should determine these policies. We have to work with all those people who actually have to put them into practice, and we will do that in a far better collegiate way. In terms of his other in terms of whether we need a new bill, I think in the future we will. Yes, I think what we can build from this new culture, consultation, cooperation, is a clear vision as a society of what we want out of education, not just in schools, but also in units, in our university college, and in lifelong learning. And by enshrining that in a new piece of legislation with a clear vision, a clear statement of then how that will be applied, that will be regularly updated, we can get there. But we will get there not today, we will get there in the future when the time is right, when we've had this full consultation and taken on board the massive amount of information that your committee has coalesced.
Manx Radio Business Briefing with Western Union Business Solutions.
It's 19 minutes before six. Already huge big tech companies saw dizzying growth that'll probably continue beyond the pandemic as people and companies grow more dependent on tech. The Wall Street Journal reported that spending on computers, video games, e-commerce, cloud computing services and digital advertising led to combined revenue growth for the five biggest US tech companies, and that's Alphabet, who own Google, Amazon, Apple, Facebook and Microsoft. The growth is over $1.1 trillion over the past year, and even more impressive, their market capitalization rocketed by 50% to a combined $8 trillion. Major oil firms are racking up big losses over the past year due to plummeting demand during the pandemic. But is the stage set for change? Big mergers are one option, with Exxon's chief exec suggesting they're looking for companies that could grow unique value. Analysts and investors told the Financial Times that a deal between major oil firms offers scale that could improve competitiveness and potentially more capital for investment in low-carbon tech. But with oil prices reaching pre-pandemic levels as demand is on the up, and vaccines promising recovery, the short-term incentive is disappearing.
Manx Radio Business Briefing with Western Union Business Solutions, helping you manage the risk of making international payments. The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK stocks closed slowly higher despite the rally that's seen global stocks nudging to record highs. The dollar fell as a slide in US Treasury yields raised doubts. Oil rose, supported by supply cuts. Gold jumped on the sliding dollar. And in corporate news, Ocado was in the red despite reporting a 68.6% rise in full-year core earnings. Experian was one of the biggest losers on the index as sterling gained ground against the dollar. And the numbers at the close from Ramsey Crookall in London, the FTSE 100 up just over a tenth of a percent at 6,531. The DAX in Frankfurt closed down a third of a percent at 14,011. In the United States, it's been non-stop growth there lately. In New York City currently, the Dow Jones Industrial flat at 31,359. The tech stocks index, the NASDAQ, up a fifth of a percent at 14,017. And in Chicago, the S&P 500, up just over a tenth of a percent at 3,910. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 US, 37.9 cents, €1, 13.9 cents, and 20 South African rand, 36.9 cents. And finally, in commodities, gold up three-tenths of a percent at $1,835 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil up almost four-tenths of a percent at $60.88.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal, you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsey Crookall, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookle.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
The high streets in Douglas, Strand Street, Castle Street, Duke Street could become ghost towns if the price of rent isn't addressed. The word from Douglas South MHK Claire Christian, who owns Claire Christian Couture on Victoria Street. And as Burton's Wallace and Dorothy Perkins leave, Mrs. Christian is concerned about a pattern emerging.
All our UK retailers who have stores here will be under threat. So, for example, like the retail shoe brand Clark's, only retail store which is open is on the Isle of Man in Jersey. And textile clothing and leather and footwear are especially being hit as workers stay at home and factories close. And what this means is basically global supply chains have grinded to a halt and cancellations of orders are hitting thousands of firms. So this is what's happening and this is why the fall of Arcadia Group has happened. And this has definitely been accelerated by the COVID-19 pandemic. It's really very worrying. And I think we're going to see a very different Douglas High Street than we've ever seen before.
Well, with that in mind and more people shopping online particularly, is there a concern around the rise of what's known as fast fashion and the push towards sort of non-environmentally friendly, unethical items?
It certainly does. Unethical, I think, obviously, environmental issues as well, because of people purchasing stock or purchasing goods online. It affects both those issues. And I think that's something that we have to consider. And that's why it's really important that the good Manx public continue to spend locally so that we are thinking about our environmental and ethical responsibilities. It's a very good question. I think one of the interesting things is the knock-on effect of closures will see a small rise of independent businesses, and that's because that will help create jobs here on the island. But I think what's going to be really interesting is because Douglas High Street's got very high rents, this could mean that these new independents choose other towns across the island to set up because they can't afford the huge rents left by these retail chains. But this is going to dramatically affect Douglas High Street. I mean, it could end up becoming a ghost town if this isn't addressed.
Manx Radio Sport.
Faster Mai, Alex Watton.
Faster Mai, good evening. The shortlist for the island's annual sports awards has been announced. The event, sponsored by Microgaming Play It Forward, is set to take place on the 25th of March at the Villa Marina in Douglas. This year, organisers hope to reflect what they describe as the exceptional challenges faced in 2020 by paying tribute to those who kept sports on track despite the global pandemic. There are 11 awards available in total, with the coveted Sportsman and Sportswoman of the Year prizes rounding off the evening, with 7 people shortlisted in both categories. And you can find a full list of all those in the running at manxradio.com. The Women's Football Floodlit Cup semi-final is set for this Valentine's Day. 4 teams are going head-to-head at the Bowl in Douglas on the 14th of February to battle for a spot in the final. First up will be Douglas Royal versus Peel. They kick off at 2:10. Soon to follow are Castletown, who are set to take on Corinthians at 3:40. You can find out more on the Isle of Man Women's and Girls Football Facebook page. And in sport from further afield, bowlers Jack Leach and James Anderson starred on the final day of the first test as England's cricketers wrapped up an impressive away win against India. They took 7 wickets between them in the second innings as Joe Root's side triumphed by 227 runs to go 1-0 up in the 4-match series. Anderson's pleased his impressive spell contributed to such an emphatic victory.
It's always nice to see the stumps cartwheeling out of the ground. It doesn't happen very often at my age, so really happy that it did today. And it sort of tops off a really good performance throughout the 5 days. I thought it was a really solid and complete performance from the whole team.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by the island's only dedicated electric car service centre.
11 minutes before 6, one departure, one arrival. At Ronald's Way, the 10 to 5... departure for Loganair's Liverpool left a minute early and back in this evening at 6:40. The Matrix signs are showing one warning, the warning of ice across the Isle of Man this evening on the roads. Goldie Terrace Lane in Douglas is closed between Myrtle Street and Circular Road for work on water mains. Quarterbridge Road, one-way northbound for curb replacement through until, well, March at least anyway. Factory Lane and Chapel Lane in Peel closed for highway reconstruction. Work's been delayed due to lockdown. Also, Westlands in Peel closed for demolition, refurbishment and extension works. Elsewhere, of course, the phased closures for water main replacement and sewerage infrastructure in Peel are between the museum, the House of Mananan and the boatyard. Station Park in Colby is closed for curb replacement and resurfacing, and there's a parking suspension in Glen Elphin Road in Ramsey due to nearby construction through until the end of May.
The island's new solely dedicated electric and hybrid vehicle service centre. Get more with Keyside.
The Enterprise Minister says prospective banking operators aren't put off by a perceived lack of labour on the Isle of Man. In the House of Keys today, Lawrence Skelly, MHK, confirmed Investec and Capital were successful in recent bids for banking licences. He told members businesses looking to relocate weren't concerned about whether there's enough people to employ here.
I can confirm that labour has not been an issue in the inquiries that we have received, and those inquiries have been received over a matter of years, and would actually go back to, I think, when we last administration introduced the alternative banking regime, and the result of that was that we have two licences that have been issued in the last 18 months. And in those particular cases, I can confirm that local labour has been used and continues to be used. So we see potential growth in respect to that. And when you think that there have been two licences that have been issued in the last 18 months compared to the last 20 years when there's been no licences, just reduction, that I think demonstrates the fate of where this industry has been going for some time. So trends have obviously played a big part in that, but labour is not an issue.
Supplementary question, Mrs. Christian.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As we've got a large pool of highly trained resource right now, could this be a selling point for the finance agency to once again approach international banking businesses now? And are there any other incentives you consider to attract these businesses?
Minister to reply.
Good morning. I guess that's a follow-on from the previous question. This is, yes, it is a large resource, no doubt about it. And the big question will be, are they transferable skills? They're touching on the digitisation yet again. Clearly, there is big opportunities in the digital economy of the Isle of Man. The variety and opportunities there are really quite significant. And even through these last 12 months that we've lived through, there have been significant growth that has already occurred in respect to that. So it is a matter of assessing individuals. And with that in mind, we recommend they do get in touch through UCM, Manx Industrial Relations, and consider how we can as an island and as a government and economy might be able to help these people actually transition into new opportunities.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
The Manx government could be doing more to reduce carbon emissions today, according to the leader of the Isle of Man's Green Party. The Green Party is not happy after an attempt to bring forward the 2050 target to reach net zero emissions to 2035 fell down in Tynwald. Andrew Langer-Newton is the leader of the Green Party here.
We have a huge public housing stock, and we've got a huge roof space in public housing and on government buildings. Every roof space we should look at as an asset for our community, for solar energy, for insulation to reduce our emissions, so we're using carbon emissions more efficiently and hopefully towards zero by increasing the amount of renewable energy in our community, in our society, and making our systems more efficient. Again, active travel, you've got a bridge in Paul Rose, you've got many comments coming out going, what's the Isle of Man government proposing with this bridge when it doesn't take account of the proper standards to active travel and then active travel all across the island, and look at an integrated transport system, which is something that's been talked about for like 15 years since the original strategic plan, and that with the sole aim of sustainability and how we move around the Isle of Man. And that's really leveraging a lot more in public transport, incentivizing public transport and increasing its availability. So there are things that can be done today which just don't rely on the climate bill.
Both the incentivized active travel as well as solar panels and roof spaces, it all comes with either a lot of capital cost or staggered cost from government at the time where we're spending reserves on support schemes amidst a global pandemic. Should the money be spent on things like that when we don't know how much more we may need in the many millions to support the economy at a basic level?
Yes, so I appreciate the point that these things don't necessarily come for free up front, but they are investments within our community, and investments pay off over time. So this actually means, like, for example, the investments in solar panels, it means cheaper energy for people in the future and cleaner energy. The active travel within our communities, a public health issue released in The Guardian today about the amount of people who are suffering chronic illness and death from emissions, not just carbon emissions, but particulates in our conurbations, in our communities, from diesel cars and from petrol cars. And so improving active travel and reducing the reliance on cars and particularly releasing transport is beneficial for our public health system, which is also a cost to our society through the NHS. So these changes that we can make today actually pay off as investments in our future.
So it's congratulations to Beatrice Quirk at the age of 97, the first person on the Isle of Man to get the vaccination in her own home, in her own chair. Congratulations to Beatrice. We've now had 12,418 vaccinations on the island so far, 9,483 first dose administered, 2,935 second dose administered. And that's it for Update Tonight, brought to you from the resources of Max Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Tessa Hawley, producer Alex Watton. Stick around for George Ferguson with the greatest hits on earth next and a COVID-19 update at 7 o'clock. The stories you've heard on Update and much more Manx news available at manxradio.com and via the free Manx Radio app. I'm Andy Wint, back tomorrow night at 5:30. W-I-X.